Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, folks, here on Big Blue View's YouTube channel for our post-game live stream after the New York Giants 30-10 loss on Monday Night Football. Their record decreases to 3-7. Coming off of the bye, Chris, this game, I have to say, was incredibly frustrating to watch. And as we've said this pretty much every single week, it feels like. But Nick tweeted something that I thought and I put into our notes doc a little bit before I saw Nick's tweet. How the hell do you come out after the bye week, after all this time to prepare, and you score 10 points? And also with time to see two straight losses for the Bucs and to see the issues that they were having. It's almost like the Bucs were the ones that had the time advantage on their hands.
This was almost like the Buccaneers had 2 weeks to prepare for the Giants. This is just what the Giants offense is at this point. I don't know that there's really anything we can say about it. Either the offensive line is getting their lunch money taken from them, the wide receivers are dropping passes, making poor plays, or Daniel Jones is having issues, or the running backs just aren't getting really any kind of positive yardage. The Giants had a couple nice runs towards the end of the game, but at that point, the Buccaneers didn't care. They were happy to let the Giants run and just get the game over more quickly, which, I suppose I appreciate at this point.
Right. Just the big thing for me is to come out and look so vastly unprepared, and then to see a Bucs team that was, it felt like that they had a counter and they knew what they needed to do offensively and defensively to effectively win this game and win it easily. I think that had the Bucs not taken their foot off the gas, this probably would have been a 30-40 point loss. It was on that trajectory to be like that. It looked like that the majority of the game. The only thing that made it somewhat respectable was the interception that Adoree Jackson had, just simply based off of it being tipped up in the air. And there was the possibility the Giants didn't even score on that drive. But it just, I can't even describe it further than, it just felt like we were watching a team that had no time to prepare going up against a team that was extremely well off and ready to go.
Yeah, the Giants didn't look like they belonged on the same field as the Buccaneers. Even that very first drive, hats off to Bruce Arians for his script to open that game. The play diversity, the variety of players getting the ball, the sequencing, that was really a brilliant script. And the Giants were completely lost on defense. They had no idea what to expect. And really, I messaged you during the game. The Buccaneers were doing a better job of slowing themselves down than the Giants defense was for most of the game.
Yeah, any instances where their drives kind of stalled, it was just off of their own mistakes. And the one thing for me too, though, Chris, was that the Giants defense was on the field for so long because the Giants offense wasn't really doing anything. And that's not a team that you can really, put your defense in that situation. They're going to expose your defense if you're putting them in that situation.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things the announce crew brought up was how the Giants defense simplified over the course of the game. Now, I get wanting your defense to play faster, especially with a quarterback like Tom Brady, who is just getting the ball out lightning quick and really always seemed to have an answer for whatever the defense threw at him. But you can't make the game easy for Tom Brady. He has seen everything. He has seen everything multiple times. And if you're just sitting back in a cover two or a cover three defense, he knows exactly what to audible to. He knows exactly where his open receivers are going to be. And it was just too easy. And that was what we saw all game long. It was just too easy.
Yeah, certainly too easy. The one thing that really irked me, though, Chris, and it was all fun and stuff when we saw it happen, when Andrew Thomas caught the touchdown, and it's like, oh, he comes back, he scores a touchdown. I mean, like, that was great and all. It was exciting to see, and to see that Andrew Thomas has a touchdown in his statistics is, again, it's fun. It's fun to see. But for me, the first thing that I started to realize when they weren't going to score after that is how concerning that actually really is that in all of the red zone situations they're in and all of the issues that they have in the red zone and all the incapabilities to score touchdowns in the red zone, it literally took them throwing a pass to their left tackle who has been out for multiple weeks. That to me is the epitome of not only their red zone struggles, but their offensive struggles, their terrible play calling, that it required that to score a touchdown. And that was their only touchdown. Someone tweeted this, and it doesn't take much to figure this out. Andrew Thomas now has more touchdowns than Kenny Golladay and Kadarius Toney. That's a freaking problem. That's not supposed to happen. You shouldn't need to do that to score a touchdown in the NFL.
Yeah, your left tackle should not have more touchdowns than your first round pick and $40 million guaranteed wide receiver. That is a major problem. And it is a problem that the Giants offense can only do anything when it's either handed a 5-yard field or they're resorting to trick plays or both. Because really that has been when they've been able to get any kind of really positive production. You know, the Andrew Thomas touchdown, that long reception by Daniel Jones, you know, the Giants like to use Kadarius Toney as a wildcat quarterback and have him throw. You know, those might be fun wrinkles, but if those are your best plays, that's a problem. And, you know, we saw the Giants offense basically stay in its shell, the shell that it's been in for the last 3 weeks before the bye week. They're not really pushing the ball downfield unless they've got an absolutely pristine one-on-one matchup that they love. They're just going with a bunch of shallow crossing routes, stick routes, some screens that never really seem to work. And, you know, at the end of the game, they just said, you know, Blaine Gabbert converted a fourth down. And they asked, you know, why can't the Giants seem to execute plays like this? And that's just kind of who they are.
Yeah, the playmaking and the decision making, the play calling rather, and the decision making is certainly an issue. And the other obvious issue is what we got from Daniel Jones today. And, you know, part of that, and we're going to talk about this, is definitely the offensive line, but there's no excuse for the two interceptions that Daniel Jones threw. There's no excuse for the mistakes that he made. I watched multiple throws, and then they kept panning to multiple angles where guys were open, and if you just took a second to look, it would have been a touchdown. I want to say there was one play where it was early on in the game, and I think it was Kadarius Toney. He forced the ball to be like he was hesitant, and he started to throw it, stopped, and then threw it to Kadarius Toney, who was covered, not completed. And I forget who it was. I think it might have been Kenny Golladay, was open for a potential touchdown. Like, that is, again, what we're getting at here is the same issues just continue to pop up. And the interceptions, not the worst that he's had, because he's had really bad interceptions, but along the lines of those really bad ones, and almost a regression, because he was just throwing get the ball out of his hands because he doesn't know what to do when pressure comes in his face. And he just hands the ball to the other team. It is the result that we're getting.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, it's... I'm not sure if he panics or if he just kind of has a brain fart and stops thinking, but we have seen a lot of the same problems that we saw as a rookie, where bad decisions, like, you know, trying to force the ball to, you know, a tight end while you're running the opposite direction on the field and you know, with pressure right in your face, and then throwing an absolutely terrible ball right to, well, you know, McClendon, which, good for him, he got an interception after, you know, 12 years in the NFL. But yeah, that was, yeah, he had the whole rest of the field to throw the ball, and he throws it to the one defender in the area. And then the second interception, that was one where, once again, we saw Jones stare down his receiver almost before he got the snap, and it just led the Tampa defense right to where the ball was going to be. And again, that's something we saw him do as a rookie. And yeah, he really needs to grow past this. And I'm not sure if he ever will.
I'm just going to be entirely blunt, because we always do the, like, where do we stand on Daniel Jones thing, which is fair to do. And I'm probably going to talk about this on the film show when we release it, probably on Wednesday, maybe tomorrow afternoon. We dance around, like, where do we stand on Daniel Jones? I mean, like, after today, I'm out. I really don't have any, like, that to me was the nail in the coffin. He showed that he doesn't have the decision-making capabilities to be the starting quarterback for the Giants right now, to produce winning results. He showed a regression in terms of decision-making with forcing the ball where it's going to lead to a turnover. I'm out. And, you know, the reality of this, of it is, he's not the entire problem, but he's clearly not the solution. Something else needs to be done. And I just don't think that this franchise is going to take any steps forward with Daniel Jones as the starting quarterback. I cannot defend him anymore. I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah, I kind of don't blame you there. I try not to talk about Jones anymore because people just get upset when I do.
Right.
But
everyone does. It's the one name that, if you bring him up, I think it's still divided, but most people are leaning towards not liking him at this point.
Yeah, my feelings on Jones is that he is really a walking bias test, where if you want to believe in him, you can find plays to make you believe in him, to reinforce that view. He can throw an absolutely gorgeous deep ball. You know, he can run like a deer. He can, well, maybe not quite like a deer, but he can run well.
Like a moose.
Yeah, and he's got the toughness, and he's got the leadership and all those intangibles. The
just coaches know how to read a defense or make decisions.
Yeah, and that's the other side of the coin, where, yeah, his placement is, we'll say, inconsistent at best. He's still making those mistakes with eye discipline. He's not seeing the field consistently. And yeah, he's at the point in his career where if he's going to be a franchise quarterback, you can't have the peaks and valleys. You can't be relying on one or two flash plays a game. You need that snap in, snap out consistency. I mean, like, it's not fair to compare him to Tom Brady. Nobody should be compared to Tom Brady. No. But I have to say, at the end of the game, I was watching Blaine Gabbert, because Brady got the rest of the night off. And I looked at this like, is that the future for Daniel Jones? Is he just going to be some other team's backup quarterback eventually, because he's a guy you can trust as a human cigar? Or if something bad happens, he can do enough where you might not, you know, he can do enough to potentially not lose you the game.
So the last thing I just want to hit on, Chris, here, and it's the same blatant thing that we talk about every week, the offensive line. Somehow only allowed 2 sacks, which does not sound right when you say it out loud after the game that we just watched. 9 quarterback hits, though. That is a horrendous number. And props to Daniel Jones. He got out of pressure, but the results that he produced outside of pressure were not good. He didn't get sacked, which is somehow a step up. I don't know if I can spin that positively, but 9 quarterback hits. The perfect example of how bad the pass protection in this game was they hit home and got a pressure. I don't believe they sacked Daniel Jones, but they got a pressure on a 3rd down when they rushed 3. They rushed 3 defenders, and they were able to pressure Daniel Jones to prevent them from converting on that play. Like, that can't happen. That can't happen. And Andrew Thomas, I watched Andrew Thomas. I thought he looked fantastic. And I might be wrong. I might miss something. Maybe he allowed some pressures in this game. He looked fantastic. But you go from left over there, or sorry, to the from left guard over, not a single guy there that I thought did anything redeeming. One of my roommate from college, who was an offensive lineman, for those who don't know, I played college football at Rhode Island, and he texted me in the middle of the game. He's like, man, Will Hernandez sucks. And he was in on Will Hernandez when he first came in. So offensive line, yet again, just underwhelming in a situation where they didn't even have Vita Vea and they gave up 9 quarterback hits.
Yeah. Thomas did give up a sack at the end of the game. But it was the offensive line really did just get manhandled. Solder was getting pushed into the backfield all game long. And like you said, the Buccaneers didn't have Vita Vea, who was their best defensive lineman so far. JPP was playing with a torn rotator cuff, which shoulder injuries are devastating for defensive linemen, because that, you know, you need to be able to transfer power. You need to be able to use your hands to beat offensive linemen. And for JPP to do what he did and play some good football and really control the Giants offensive line, basically one-armed, that is not good for the Giants offensive line. We'll get into this, you know, this week.
Yes.
But God, this was just terrible. Just a terrible game to see when you're looking ahead at the Philadelphia Eagles defensive line. And all of a sudden the Eagles are playing well. So it's discerning.
We'll have plenty to unpack when we preview that Eagles game. And we're also going to take a look at the tape and, you know, do our usual bit. We'll get Nick on and we're going to take a look at
Nick go in on it on Will Hernandez.
I'm very excited to hear that. Stay tuned for that, folks, by subscribing to our podcast feed, wherever you listen to podcasts. That's going to be it from us. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.